Chapter 7.
What is your idea, Ben?
Mira asked, as she stepped forward and leaned against her spear.
Are we going to lure them out into a trap?
More or less. We just need to figure out what kind of a trap we'll need to lure them into. Almost everything between here and the shore is flat, hilly plains, so it's not like we can just set up a bunch of hidden booby traps for them to wander into.
And charging right into them would be like running straight into a pack of wild boars.
Anora interjected.
Sure, you might come out of it alive, but you're not getting out of the situation without a few major injuries and maybe even some casualties. See, that is exactly what we'd normally do.
Ashanti shrugged.
We'd take all our mounted Chero riders, charge right up to their camp, and then kill them all before they could even realize what's happening. It's actually a fairly effective strategy.
That's still not a good idea. I shook my head. If they have the Dragon Queen and whatever other boats have carried them in, then they'll just be waiting to pick us off from the sea with their cannons.
Cannons?
Batari questioned with an excited smile.
I don't know what those are, but they sound deadly.
They are. They're these giant iron tubes that can shoot heavy balls of metal at very high speeds. I've seen those things tear off people's limbs or turn them into a gory mess of mangled bones and flesh.
Tell me more.
Rikuri grinned as her pupils dilated with happiness. There's not really much more to it. It's a giant ball of iron that can tear holes through enemy lines and blast people apart.
I'll volunteer to charge the camp.
Rikuri demanded as she turned to Batari.
We could do so much damage if we had some of those cannon things. Tambori's tusks, it sounds like it. But I trust the Draco Rex. If he has a better idea than our traditional methods, then we should listen to him.
Well, we aren't taking any of the cannons if they're used against us. Plus, if these orcs went through all the trouble of bringing dragon-capturing siege engines across the island, I can almost guarantee they'll have more on their ship. If we want to stand a chance, we'll have to take out any of their ships and recapture the Dragon Queen first.
But how?
Batari questioned.
You just said they'll see us approaching from afar.
They will. I nodded. That's where you and your riders come in. Batari's brow furrowed with confusion as she tried to understand my plan. The Queen Mother leaned back on her murak, crossed her arms, and scratched her chin vigorously for a moment. Then it dawned on her.
You want us to be the bait?
Batari declared with a smile. Kind of. I nodded. I want you guys to march down the mountain and head in their direction. There's no doubt in my mind that they saw what Tyrion just did to their friends, so I wouldn't be surprised if they were already waiting on another assault.
So, while they're distracted by the oncoming Cheros, we strike from behind.
Nadir cackled.
I love it.
Even then, we can't take them all alone. I'll take a small crew with me to board the Dragon Queen and reclaim it in the name of Queen Nerissa. Then, once we've secured the ship, we'll use its cannons to sneak attack the rest of the orc vessels. We sink those, and the orcs in the camp will be scared shitless.
What if there's a whole fleet of boats?
Daria suggested.
Didn't that orc you just killed claim there were a lot of them?
That's what Tyrion is for. I pointed to the fire-breathing dragon. If the orcs are doubly distracted by both the incoming Chera warriors and the fact that one of their ships just got hijacked, they'll be completely in the dark about the dragon that's lurking over them. Tyrion swoops in and takes out the ships, and then the fuckers on the shore run away like cockroaches in the light.
Run to where, though?
Batari questioned.
They'll flee their camp in all directions across the plain, which will make it hard to run them down.
Not if we do it right. We hit them with a pincer movement.
Oh.
Lazan cooed.
Is that one of the fancy war terms from your world?
It is. I nodded. Basically, all of your riders will create two clusters. Once the orcs are on the run, then you attack them from both sides. Hopefully that will keep them all headed in the same direction.
Not to be a mud wallower.
Ashanti crossed her arms.
But why do they all need to go in the same direction? Can't we just kill them right there and then?
You could, but it would be a lot safer and a lot easier if we led them into some sort of a trap that would take them out for us. Even though this terrain is very flat and open, it wouldn't be hard to dig a giant pit and then fill it with sharpened branches or something like that.
Wait.
A smile spread across Ashanti's face.
I have a better idea. Rikuri, wasn't there a large spotted hound's den somewhere around here? There sure was. Those things nearly ripped us to shreds for just wandering to their den. It was a giant hole in the ground that looked like a tunnel. How are we supposed to know it was filled with deadly monsters? That's where we'll lead them.
Ashanti nodded.
We can funnel the orcs right into the den of the spotted hounds, and then we can let our own enemies kill each other for us. So brutal.
Lazan giggled.
I love it.
Well, I do too. I grinned. That'll save us the time of building traps, which means we can get started almost immediately. Do you remember where this den was?
Of course I do.
Rikuri nodded.
How could one forget the time they were almost turned into spotted hound dung? It's located near the Cloudbrush, about 200 meerstrats to the west of the Cloudbrush we found you in. Well, that should be an easy one to find, then.
Mira chuckled.
I doubt there are many Cloudbrushes that have fallen down naturally, so you should just find the down tree and lead them 200 meerstrides from there. Then, that's what we shall do.
Batari declared.
Chera warriors, are you with me?
All of the mounted riders let out a loud
Haroo!
In response. The loud noise must have spooked Swa'er, because the little red dragon leapt off Batari's neck and slithered up nearly 5 feet in the air. He looked around frantically as his body began to tremble, and he started to make a strange chittering noise with his teeth. Swa'er's whiskers danced upon his face like two wet noodles on a marionette string, and his eyes were wide as his lips pulled in and out.
Is he all right?
Tyrion questioned.
Swa'er?
Batari's voice sounded much more fearful than I'd ever heard it.
What's wrong, my friend? I didn't mean to scare you with the loud noise.
Suddenly, the tiny wind dragon stopped moving. His eyes were wide as he hovered in the air, and he stared off into space as if he were stuck in a trance.
What's wrong with him? I've never seen this sort of action in an animal before.
Did we scare him to death?
The Queen Mother sputtered in a trembling voice.
I didn't mean to—
Before she could finish her sentence, Swa'er's entire body began to convulse like he was dry-heaving, and my fear and worry instantly transformed into excitement and anticipation, as I realized I'd seen this sort of action before. I saw it with all four of the water dragons as well as Tyrion. Swa'er was about to ask somebody to bond with him. The little red wind dragon hiccuped a few times, reared back his head, and then made a sound that was a mix between a cough and a sneeze. As he did so, an object flew from his mouth and landed on the ground at Batari's feet.
What is that, Queen Mother?
One of the random Chera women asked her leader. Batari's face was still full of concern as she dismounted her Mirak, hopped onto the rocky ground, and then picked up the object on the ground. It was a crystal scale.
I'm not sure what this is. Swa'er, did you get into something you weren't supposed to while we weren't looking?
The wind dragon's whiskers pulled back against his face, and he narrowed his eyes as he grunted in response.
He wants to bond with you, Batari.
Mira stepped forward.
Swa'er has chosen you as his bondmate. Bondmate? As in a dragon bond? Indeed.
Mira nodded.
I'm flattered, Swa'er. What in Tembori's name do I do with this, though?
Didn't you have to do this with your land dragons? When you bonded with them?
Our bonds with the land dragons were created when Tembori created us.
Rikuri clarified.
We already had all of our bonds when we came to this world.
As weird as this sounds, you have to put it on your tongue. Just pop it in your mouth, allow it to dissolve, and then you'll be bonded with the little guy.
Just let it sit there? I don't even chew? You see what that thing is made of?
Ashanti teased.
I think you'd break all your teeth if you tried to chew that.
Swa'er made a chirping noise from above, and then slithered down so he was staring Batari right in the eyes.
I think he might be going impatient.
Daria observed.
Okay.
Batari grumbled.
I suppose I accept your offer, Swa'er.
The wind dragon tilted his head to the side and gave the Queen Mother a look that said, "Seriously?" Then his hind end wagged like an excited puppy as he watched Batari put the scale into her mouth. The Queen Mother held it there for a moment before her eyes went wide, and she furrowed her brow. I remember my bonding experience as if it were only yesterday, the strange, warming yet calm sensation of the sea glass as it melted in my mouth and spread throughout my body like a cup of spiced cider. The whole process only took a few seconds, and then I'd felt at ease with the world around me. Batari seemed to arrive at that point in the proceedings, because her entire body relaxed as she looked over at the wind dragon longingly.
How are you feeling, Batari?
A juvenile voice questioned in my head.
Swa'er? Is that you?
It's me, all right.
Swa'er grinned as his whiskers flicked back and forth happily.
I'm glad you can finally understand me. It was getting hard to talk to you without words. I'm glad I can understand you as well.
Tyrion noted.
Though I felt like we've had a strange bond from the beginning, since we're both dragons and all.
Tyrion?
Batari's eyes widened as she looked at the silver fire breather.
I can understand you.
Isn't that normal?
Tyrion raised a scaly eyebrow at the Chero woman.
All of us dragons can talk to our bondmates, and anybody they themselves have been bonded to.
Queen Mother?
Rikuri cleared her throat.
Is everything all right?
All of the Chero women were looking at their leader as if she'd gone completely bonkers. She's just speaking to the dragons, I explained, and held up my hands to indicate all was well. Isn't that what you did with your land dragons?
No.
Ashanti shook her head.
We bonded with the land dragons, but we could never speak to them like they were another Chero person. They could understand and obey us, but they were never able to talk back.
Were you able to feel their emotions?
Mira asked.
For example, if your land dragon was in pain or scared, did you feel the same thing as they did?
Not at all.
Ashanti continued with a frown.
I suppose we could tell they were feeling those emotions by the way they acted, but we never felt it ourselves.
Then none of you truly had a dragon bond with your creatures.
Kandara interjected.
Excuse me?
Rikuri growled as she hopped off her murak, walked over to the Morpho woman, and stuck her finger in Kandara's face.
I loved Darba like he was my own flesh and blood. I loved that green, scaly lung until the day he was killed by the Scudawar, so I don't want to hear the two of us weren't bonded.
I'm sorry.
Kandara lowered her head.
I didn't mean to offend you, but if you never went through a proper bonding process with your dragons, then you did not have a dragon bond with them, like Ben and George, or Mira and Nixie, or Gemma and Tyrion. It's a simple fact.
How is that possible?
Batari muttered.
How could we have been with our beloved land dragons for hundreds of season cycles, yet never truly bonded with them?
How would I know?
Swaer noted.
I was literally born yesterday.
I'm not very familiar with anything but fire breathers,
Kandara admitted, as she looked over Rikuri's shoulder.
But perhaps the dragon bond is not something a land dragon does.
They're dragons, though. Shouldn't they be able to bond just like any other of their kind?
In theory, yes.
Kandara mused as she pursed her lips.
It's all very strange.
Look, I shook my head and tried to get us back on track. We can debate the details and celebrate this dragon bond later. For now, we need to worry about the task at hand. And that's killing all those orcs who want to capture our dragons and do terrible things to the Chero women.
I agree.
Zarya stepped forward.
We must remove the orc plague on this island before we do anything further.
I think the plan will work. Does everyone remember what they need to do?
You sneak onto the ship, Tyrion and I cause chaos, and then the Chero women lead the nasty green men into a den of some scary creature.
Swaer's juvenile voice repeated.
It's pretty simple for me.
What do you mean, you and Tyrion?
Batari placed her hands on her hips.
It's way too dangerous for you to go out into battle by yourself. Did you see what almost happened when you tried that before?
I saved our village,
Swaer declared as he wiggled in the air.
Oh, thanks for the encouragement, Batari. Now I'm going to be 10 times more aggressive with this attack.
That's not what I meant,
the Queen Mother tried to argue.
I just don't want you getting hurt by going off on your own.
Well, I won't be on my own. I'll be with Tyrion, and he can protect me from anything.
I wouldn't go that far,
Tyrion chuckled.
But I will do my best to protect Swaer, Batari. Though, in all honesty, I think he might be the one who ends up protecting me.
I don't know.
The Queen Mother shook her head.
This is a dangerous mission for a wind dragon that isn't even a full day old yet.
This is a dangerous mission for all of us, I reminded Batari. I think I agree with Tyrion on this one. Swaer can do more damage with that breath of his than I think this entire team can. He'll be fine, especially if Tyrion is there by his side.
What's going on right now?
Rikuri chuckled in disbelief.
Is it always this confusing to watch people talk to their dragons like this? Oh, you get used to it.
Zarya shrugged.
Ben and Mira are both pretty good about translating for us.
Swaer and Tyrion are going to lead the sneak attack. Once we have recaptured the Dragon Queen, they'll be the ones who swoop in and fuck up the rest of the orc fleet.
How will you get around behind them?
Ashanti asked.
It'd be quite a long, dangerous swim if that's the way you want to go.
Tyrion will fly us out, which means there can only be a maximum of 4 people storming the Dragon Queen.
Only 4 people? Storming an entire ship? You're crazier than you look, Draco Rex.
We've done more with less. I shrugged. I'm confident we'll be able to take back the ship with the right group of people.
5.
Kandara corrected.
I can fly, remember? I'll go out there with you.
A group of 5 it is then. I still need 3 more people to come along.
I'll go.
Nima volunteered.
You'll need an archer if you want to try and take out any orcs from far away. You know you're not going on a stealth mission without me, Draco Rex.
Mira flashed me a deadly grin.
Not even if you tried. I'm going to be fully honest here.
Nadir spoke up.
I don't think Lezan or I would be great for a stealth mission. You know how we get when we're in the heat of the moment. Lots of blood.
Lezan added with a serious nod.
Lots of gore, lots of noise. Definitely not good for being stealthy. It would be unwise for us to go without the other.
Daria noted as she pointed to her twin.
We fight most efficiently as a singular unit.
What about one of the Tyrol?
Anora suggested.
It would be counterintuitive for me to go along since you already have an Archer. Why not take Rikuri or Batari along with you?
I must lead the charge.
Batari shook her head.
I'm the Queen Mother. It would be an insult to Tambori if I left my people to fight on their own.
All eyes fell on Rikuri. The hornless Chero woman looked around at all of her peers, nodded with pursed lips, and then shrugged.
What have I got to lose?
We would be honored to have the best warrior of the Chero people join us. I grinned. If you don't mind riding on a crowded dragon, that is. Or getting wet.
If what Batari has told me is any indication, then that second part shouldn't be an issue whatsoever.
My face turned red as my heart hammered in my chest. But I didn't respond to the flirtatious comment. Instead, I simply walked over to the edge of the mountaintop and peeked down at the burning orc camp below. We will need to wait a little bit longer. You said these plains are extremely dangerous at night, so I don't want to make any of you go down there until it's almost dawn. Then that's when we'll strike. We're going to give these orc bastards a very rude awakening.
The spotted hounds, too.
Mira snickered. Our team sat atop the hill for a few hours more as we complimented each other about our battle efforts and shared stories about previous orc encounters. However, I couldn't soak in it for too long. We had some orcs to kill. All right, I finally announced as I stood from my seated position. I hope you all enjoyed that bit of rest because it's time.
Finally.
Ashanti chuckled.
I was getting kind of restless.
The Chero women mounted their oversized ants and readied their weapons, while several of my friends joined them. At the same time, Mira, Rikuri, Nima, and I all squeezed together on top of Tyrion's back. Are you sure you're up for this? I asked the silver-scaled dragon. Because we can totally lighten the load if you need us to.
No!
Tyrion grunted, though he kept his demeanor friendly.
I've carried way more weight than this before. It's only temporary anyways. I'd help if I could.
Swaer interjected.
But obviously I'm not much use as a carrier right now. I don't even know if I could handle a heavy rock at this point.
Unless you used your wind. You can handle just about anything with that.
I don't think you want to travel with my wind breath. Your insides will get so shaken up they would never return to normal.
Rikuri was right behind me on the silver dragon's back, and soon she leaned in so her chin rested on my right shoulder.
If you feel something poking you in the backside, promise it's just my sword.
The hornless Chero woman teased. Really? I retorted without missing a beat. I would have assumed it was your missing horn.
I keep that in my dwelling.
Rikuri continued.
It's a reminder of the one and only time I almost lost a battle. Well, the one and only time before I met you, of course.
Yeah, of course. I'd love to hear that story sometime when we're not about to go on a life-threatening mission.
It's a short story. And it'll take us a little bit of time to get out to the sea.
Then we better get going. Everyone else remembers the plan, right? Because you'll need to get into position the second we head out there. I don't know how long it'll take us to liberate the Dragon Queen, so it'd be best if you guys are ready to go at a moment's notice.
We will be.
Batari nodded.
Right, Chero warriors? Haroop!
The rest of the mounted rhino women cried out.
Aye!
Lazan and Nadir declared as they held their battle axes high.
We don't have a battle cry.
Daria sighed and looked back and forth between Zarya and Anora.
We should really talk to Nalissa about that.
Don't feel bad.
Kandara chuckled as she floated up into the air.
The Morpho don't have one either.
Nor do we.
Nira shrugged.
We as a people didn't even do battle until Ben came around, remember?
Swaer's small furry figure zipped over, curled itself around Tyrion's tail, and held on for dear life.
What are you doing? You can fly on your own. Well, yeah, but I figured you were going out there anyway, and my muscles are really tired from all the flying I just did in the battle, and...
Tyrion twisted his body into a C shape so he could better look at the wind dragon on his tail. His brow furrowed, and his nostrils flared softly as he stared at Swaer in disbelief. However, Swaer just responded with two big puppy dog eyes that could melt even the coldest of hearts. His whiskers and ears folded back against his head like a scolded puppy dog, and he let out a few soft whimpers. And like that, Tyrion cracked.
Okay, fine.
Tyrion grumbled and turned back to the horizon.
But when we get there, you gotta fly on your own, okay? Okay.
Swaer grinned before he flattened himself against Tyrion's tail and held on tightly. We all bade our friends farewell, and then Tyrion lifted off toward the clouds. Kandara followed closely behind, and soon we found ourselves up above the misty morning formations. The sunrise was even more beautiful up here, where the air was thin, and there was nothing around us but the open red sky of the Charrow Island. Once Tyrion thought we were high enough to be out of sight, we advanced forward as quickly as possible. The cool morning wind swished past our faces as we flew forward, and down below I could see the inkling of a shadow being cast onto the clouds. And try as she might, Kandara's small wings and frail figure couldn't quite keep up with Tyrion as he flew. Her emerald appendages beat rapidly as she zipped through the sky about 50 feet behind us, but I knew she would catch up eventually. "So, we're in the air," I called back to the hornless Chera woman. "Do you have any good stories to pass the time?" Rikuri hummed into my ear.
"There was the time I fought against a Whitehorn."
"A Whitehorn? Like those big lumbering things with the horns we saw out on the hilly plains."
"Those would be the ones,"
the raven-haired rhino woman continued.
"When the time of the Great Famine first began, Ashanti and I got the bright idea to try and go hunting for a Whitehorn. We figured they had a lot more meat than the regular animals we ate, and we could use their horns for weapons and their eyes for clothing. Instead, we quickly found out why we've never tried to hunt Whitehorns before."
"Those things are just overgrown cows. How dangerous could they be?"
"When it's mating season?"
Rikuri whistled.
"A Whitehorn is one of the deadliest animals in existence. I'm not even sure the Scutawar would stand a chance in that case."
"Seriously?"
"You'd be surprised what they can do. For the longest time, I thought the Whitehorn's body was comprised mostly of fat. But no, it's mostly muscle under that matted black fur. Creatures got real angry when Ashanti and I attacked them, and they literally knocked us off our miracs and tried to trample us dead. Ashanti was able to get back on her mount, but I wasn't so lucky. One of those bumbling creatures bit down on my horn and dragged me nearly 100 mir strides across the grasslands before I was able to pry myself free of its grasp."
"Holy shit. How did you survive that?"
"Tembori smiled upon me favorably that day. My body was beaten and bruised until eventually I slammed into a thick rock on the savannah. When that happened, my momentum was completely stopped, but the Whitehorn kept going."
"Was that the end?"
"No. Even though I felt like I'd been trampled by the stampede, I refused to give up. I got right back up, pulled out my sword, and then threw it into the Whitehorn as hard as I could. Hit him right in the heart, and he dropped instantly."
"Huh. Nobody defeats the great Rikuri."
"Do you want to know the most ironic part of it all?"
The rhino woman mused.
"The Whitehorn meat was so terrible, we never tried to eat it ever again."
My friends and I all had a hearty laugh at Rikuri's story. But then we went stone-cold silent when we realized we were nearing our destination. Soon, we could hear the powerful roar of ocean waves beneath us, and I knew this was where we needed to be.
"Are you ready to drop down? We're losing darkness quickly here, and I don't want us to be easy targets."
"Let's go, then." I nodded. "Everyone get ready to swim, because we're going to be a ways away from the Dragon Queen. Tyrion and Swaer, remember that the second we're in the water, you need to head back up into the clouds. We don't want the orcs to have even the slightest idea you're here until you're ready to attack."
"You don't have to tell me twice,"
Tyrion reminded us. The dragon's wings began to beat softer as he started to lower himself downward, with us still on his back. For a brief second, we were completely engulfed by the white mist of the clouds, and then the sky went clear, and what I saw made my heart leap into my throat. The Dragon Queen was right where we'd left it, though now it flew a flag I didn't recognize whatsoever. Meanwhile, there were two more orc ships on each side of our vessel. Then there was the orcs' encampment, which was much larger than I'd been led to believe. There were 6 roaring fires along the narrow shore of the Charrow Island, and each one was surrounded by a handful of makeshift tent dwellings. These bastards weren't kidding around. They came to this island looking for dragons, and they sure as fuck were determined to find them.
"That's a lot of orcs,"
Mira hissed, as she turned to look at me over her shoulder.
"Do you think our plan will still work? Of course it will,
Rikuri noted.
If we can make the orcs flee in terror, then they'll run straight into our trap. Even if they outnumber the Chero Riders, Batari and Ashanti know what they're doing. They'll get them all to the Spotted Hound Den. We just have to do our part first.
So if we fire the cannons at the two ships around us, that means each dragon will have to attack one more ship. Do you guys think you're up to it?
I can definitely handle a ship on my own. I'm not sure about Swaer, though. I can handle it. I think a good blast of wind would be enough to at least flip the whole thing over. Then if there are a bunch of the mean green men in the water, I can create a whirlpool and suck them all up.
That's kind of macabre for a cute little wind dragon, but I like it. You guys stay safe, all right?
You too, Ben.
Tyrion nodded. The dragon lowered himself down so he was only a few feet above the water, which meant it was now our time to jump. I was the first one off Tyrion's back, and I splashed into the icy water with a soft plop. Whew! It's freezing, I whispered to my friends, as the briny ocean water forced goosebumps across my skin. Mira was the next one off. The golden-scaled dragonkin warrior stood up on Tyrion's back, put her hands in front of her like a diver, and then sprang off into the water. She broke through the surface with no effort whatsoever and then reappeared a few feet away from me. Mira's eyes were wide, probably from the sudden shock of the cold water, but she remained silent. Nima came next. The redhead Nirilope tried to be graceful with her dive, but she simply cannonballed down into the water like a lead balloon. Thankfully, she had a fairly slim figure, so the sound of Nima hitting the water was little more than a soft sploosh. Rikuri was the least graceful of all. The hornless Chero woman sprang off the back of Tyrion, curled her knees up into her chest, and slammed into the water with the force of a boulder. There was a loud splash of water as she immersed herself into the icy depths. And then the raven-haired woman emerged from the surface of the water, sucked in air, and shook her head like a wet dog. You don't swim much, do you? I questioned with a raised eyebrow.
I swim the mud pits all the time,
Rikuri retorted.
I'm just not used to water this cold. Well, you're going to have to get used to it,
Mira grumbled.
We all are, at least for a while. Why can't we all have wings like her?
Nima shivered as she pointed up to Kandara.
Oh, she doesn't have to get into the water at all. Kaku made us this way.
Kandara shrugged.
Your gods decided you were more equipped with scales or long legs or horns.
I don't think wings are really my style anyway.
Rikuri snorted.
Can you imagine a Chero woman with wings?
The two dragons quickly darted back up into the clouds, out of sight of both us and the orcs. And once they were gone, the five of us turned and headed in the direction of our beloved ship. Kandara stayed as close to the surface of the water as possible, though she never even once dipped her feet inside. The rest of us had to endure the icy grasp of the sea as we plodded forward, until we finally came to the back end of the Dragon Queen. There should be a rope up on the deck right above us, I explained to Kandara. Do you think you could fly up there and toss it down?
And be careful. If the orcs see you, our whole plan falls apart, or worse.
Kandara gave us a cautious nod as she pulled her fan blade from its holster, unfolded it, and began to flutter up the side of the ship. We watched as the Morpho woman rose up the back of the Dragon Queen slowly. Then Kandara went over the side of the deck, and we all held our breaths. My heart raced in my chest as I treaded water and hoped she wouldn't be seen. It felt like we all floated there for hours as we stared up at the waning darkness. Then, finally, we saw a thick rope flip over the side of the vessel and plummet down toward us.
Do you think it's Kandara?
Mira warned.
Or a trap?
Seconds later, Mira's concerns were addressed as Kandara's colorful figure appeared above us, and I felt the collective sigh of relief. You guys go first. I nodded to the rope. I'll bring up the rear. Rikuri sprang straight out of the water, grabbed onto the rope, and then began to scale the side of the Dragon Queen like she was a professional rock climber. Mira went next, followed by Nima, and when I finally hoisted myself up and out of the water, it felt like a huge icy blanket had just been lifted off my body. The briny liquid drained off my clothes and down into the sea below. But the falling water from the women above me kept splashing onto my face and reminding me of just how frigid the ocean was this morning. On the plus side, I was at the bottom of the climbing party. That meant every time I looked up, I was met with the sight of my teammates' beautiful, curvy asses. My cock wanted to rise up in response to the fabulous sight, but all of the blood in my body was currently concentrated in my arm muscles, and it was pretty fucking cold. We slowly ascended the side, up the back of the ship, and then one by one crawled over onto the deck. The second we were all on solid ground, we found a small cluster of barrels, scurried behind them, and then peeked out to survey the scene before us. There were 10 orcs out and about on the top deck, and surely more were down below. All of them were equipped with standard iron swords and wooden clubs, and they chatted each other up all carefree-like, as if they just won a giant victory. Their topic of discussion, however, told us otherwise.
"What do you think happened to our attack party?"
one of the orcs growled.
"I saw a bunch of flashes of fire up in the direction they were heading. I wonder if they finally caught a fire dragon."
"Don't be a fucking idiot,"
another orc snarled.
"You remember whose boat we're standing on, right?"
"Ours,"
the first orc spat.
"This ship was ours before that sorry excuse for a king stole it from us."
"That sorry excuse for a king has killed more orcs than any of those other pansy-ass men we fought on the islands. If not for him, we'd be the kings of the fucking ocean by now. Plus, we'd be fucking all those delicious women, whether they liked it or not."
Fucking disgusting pigs. I wanted to jump out and kill them all, right then and there. But I had to control my temper. I didn't want to give ourselves away just yet.
"Ugh, can you believe he taught them how to fight?"
another orc gagged.
"Oh, women fighting! What kind of bullshit is that?"
"The kind that apparently makes our men lose. We haven't captured a single goddamn island since that fucker showed up around here."
"And that's why I'm not celebrating our victory just yet. If the Draco Rex is here, I'd imagine that fire you saw was him burning up our friends. And if that's the case, he's coming for us next."
Dude, he had no idea how right he was.
"I ain't afraid of the Draco Rex,"
the first orc declared as he drew his sword.
"Let him come at me. I'll gut him like the sniveling little cocksucker he is."
"Careful what you wish for," I muttered under my breath.
"Can we please kill them now?"
Mira whispered.
"This is getting ridiculous."
"Not until we can ensure their attention is away from us, which means I hope somebody sounds the alarm about the Chera Riders soon." The five of us sat behind those barrels for another solid 15 minutes before the word finally arrived. As the orcs were yucking it up with each other, boasting about how they were going to kill me and take all my women, another orc popped his head over the side of a nearby ship.
"Looks like we're about to have some fun, boys," he cackled through disgusting yellow teeth. "The horned women are coming right our way."
Showtime.